Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Welcome to the Metron Live podcast, coming to you from beautiful, historic, crazy weather, Atlanta, Georgia, where we have had snow. We've had all four seasons every day this week. You just, when you get ready in the morning, just take everything with you, because it's at some point during the day it will be appropriate to wear. But anyway, Metron people, please welcome the podcast people. We're glad that you are here. Our series this month is Synchronicity and Spirit: Living, Moving, and Having Your Being in the Supernatural. And I based this, particularly the cadence of that word, live and move and have your being, it's out of Acts 17:28. I'll show it to you again. This is in the New King James Version. This is where Paul is in Athens at Mars Hill, where he's talking to a great crowd of people there at the Areopagus. It's a place. There's a place like this in Rome, and there's a place like this in Athens, where because it's a polytheistic society, they all came together and built these temples to all the known gods. And in case they had left one out, the Athenians built one that's called to the unknown god, or to an unknown god. It means whatever god we haven't named, let's build a temple to him, her, it. And so Paul goes in front of this temple and preaches, and it's the most inclusive sermon I've ever heard. He says, God is not far from any of us. King James says, though we all grope for him, meaning whatever and whoever God is, it's within reach. It's Jesus came along and said, the kingdom is at hand. It's as close to you as, you as your hand is. And he says this amazing thing. He says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. I posted this week, and y'all know Lana Spencer. They live down in Macon now, but she sent me a quote. Lana's one of the most, maybe the most well-read person I know, definitely one of the most well-read. And she sent me this, and I'm not even sure what her source was, but I'm sure it's legit. But she sent me this week, and I don't remember that I've ever read this. If you'll give me number two, where Paul, when he says, live, move, have your being, and we are his offspring, because it's not like he stood up and said, it's the Bible way or the highway. There wasn't even a Bible then. He didn't say, he didn't talk about the word. He talked about he said, God has been revealed in your own literature, in your own polytheistic, myth-driven literature. Even you can find God. And so what she sent me was, in this verse, Paul quotes a poem called Critica by Epimenides, a Cretan poet, where Minos, the king of Crete and the son of Zeus, addresses Zeus as follows. And this is what Paul was referring to. And this is amazing that Paul knew to make this reference. It says, they fashioned a tomb for thee, O holy and high one. The Cretans, always liars, evil beasts, idle bellies. But thou art not dead, thou livest and abidest forever. For in thee we live and move and have our being. I thought that was something that Paul said originally. But Paul was literally making a quote to something that they would understand that was cultural to them. So this is eye-opening to me, because it shows me how literate Paul was, how inclusive he was, that he's referring to something that's about Zeus. I mean, I don't know if y'all know, but Zeus wasn't in the lineup of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Gamaliel. But Gamaliel, Karen asked, who was he schooled under? But Gamaliel was more in the Hebrew law. So, now, like I know in the Moses story, Moses, because there's in Exodus, talks about how he was schooled in Egyptian culture. Because Moses, you know, it's actually pronounced Moses, like Ramses. That's actually an Egyptian name. But he had to learn math and literature and all sorts of things. But this is just so amazing to me that Paul understood this poetry and connected the dots to these, what Christians would have called pagans, and does not tell them to renounce it. He says, you basically already know this. Let me show you what's already in you. This changes everything, because we're not trying to get somebody to ask Jesus into their heart. When Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, that was Jesus talking to the church at Laodicea. He wasn't talking to individual people. Paul said to the Galatians, he said, when it pleased the Lord who separated me from my mother's womb, he revealed his son in me. In other words, he'd been there all along. Which brings me back to meditation. I love what in that little video BJ put together last week, at the end of it, he said, thank you for helping us find God within ourselves. And I thought, that makes it, thank you for understanding that. Because if I can facilitate a way for you to get quiet, you'll find God. Like, I've clearly noticed the more people meditate, the less they need to be counseled. It's true. Now, we'll always have plenty of people to counsel, because ain't that many people meditate, you know what I'm saying? So, we have job security. But for those of us who the concept of next level is not abstract, it's something that's real for us. I can't tell you the things in a week that happen with my parents, with my dad, with, you know, some of you have been through the road of dementia, and there's 100 times in a week I could go online, 100, that's over the top, several times a week, I could go online and post something negative, like, you have no idea what it was like 2 o'clock this morning, whatever. But what's the point? It's like, there's no point in putting that out there. All it's going to do is bring up a lot of painful memories for other people who are going to tell me their horror stories of it. It just is what it is. It's a rite of passage. I'm having to deal with it. I'm finding out how strong I am. My mom has found out how strong she is. It's made her, in a strange kind of way, it's created a self-respect in her that she didn't even know she was worthy of. Because really, and I'm just going to say this, because it's true, I've been thinking about it this week, she's very much like a widow right now, because the man she's lived with all these years doesn't exist anymore. And so she went from, I mean, just like when like some of the women that were married in the 50s who never pumped their own gas and never did, she's having to learn how to do all of that. So she's, yeah, and she's risen to the occasion. And sometimes she'll tell me about something she's done. I'm like, well, I'm proud of you for it. Like, that's kind of amazing, because, you know, the man we knew is not there anymore. We, once in a while, he'll resurface and we'll say, but for the most part, he's not. It just is what it is. My point is, like, sometimes I'll get off the phone and with her, I call every night, and Kim will say, is everything okay? I said, no, but there's no point. It just is what it is. I could tell you everything that I just heard, but there's no point. It is what it is. It'll be better tomorrow, and it's always better tomorrow. And I know I got that through meditation. Nobody could have counseled that to me. Because let me tell you something about counseling. And again, I'm all for counseling and life coaching and all that stuff that we do. Believe me, we'll always have clients. But the answers really are within you. And at a certain point, when you have gotten to that place, you realize, I could go to a therapist and talk about this, but really all it's going to do is prolong something that I'm just going to have to embrace and adjust to. It's like when a loved one passes away, the grief never really goes away. You just learn to adjust to it. It's like, well, this is going to be a part of my experience. It doesn't mean I'm going to be in a fetal position crying every day, but yeah, there'll be, I mean, probably I started it off real today. For some of you, Valentine's Day may be a little bit of a head trip. Do you know what I mean? For some people, like, really? Do I have to hear one more love song? And like, well, guess what? Valentine's Day will pass. It is what it is. There's what? Well, that is true. That is true. But again, didn't you come to that conclusion through, not just through meditation, but through your spiritual journey to realize I really have everything that I need. And if I'm in a relationship, I'm in a relationship and I love it. But I want to believe that if I weren't, I would still love my life. I mean, it's like, I don't even want to put that responsibility on him. I don't want to say like, oh, if I didn't have you, I'd be, well, no, like this makes it better and it's awesome. And I'm glad that we told the truth about ourselves early enough in life that we could have some years together. Cause I see a lot of men my age that are closeted and I think, man, we're not getting any younger. I don't know who you're waiting for, but like, you know, this is really, I mean, we're like senior citizens now. This is kind of sad, like on your deathbed, like, oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm gay. Like, yeah, we all knew. Why didn't you just come out and enjoy your life? You know, it's like, all of those are things that you realize, like, I could talk about certain things, but it's not that I'm in denial about them. It's just that there's nothing else to be said about it. It is what it is. I deal with it just like you deal with your stuff. And then I go on about my day and I'm happy and enjoy it and don't feel guilty about enjoying it. And again, I don't know that somebody can preach that to you or counsel that to you. I think that's something you have to find within yourself. After you acknowledge all your stuff and work through it, then you realize, oh, there's a lot of light in there. And if you'll remove the darkness, the light shines in darkness. The darkness cannot overtake it. And I'm not saying meditation is the panacea, end-all, be-all for that, but I'm telling you, it's a huge part of it. It's just a huge, huge part of it. So that was the first one. And it says, this poem is quoted in Acts 17:28. He actually referred to two poems. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. The last part of Acts 17:28 also quotes Aratus' Phenomena, which states in part, from Zeus let us begin. Him do we mortals never leave unnamed. Full of Zeus are all the streets and all the marketplaces of men. Full is the sea and the havens thereof. Always we all have need of Zeus, for we are also his offspring. Now, if you heard that and said, well, now Bishop's teaching everybody to worship Zeus. No, I didn't say that. Paul said that. The Apostle Paul said, y'all were talking about Zeus, but you're really talking about the same God I'm talking about. We understood him better when Jesus came and revealed him and said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But he was really, buckle your seatbelts, he was actually saying, if you've seen me, you've seen Zeus, and you've seen the Father, and you've seen the I Am, and you've seen all of these names that you try to attach to God. That it's all of that. That's why I don't think Roz will mind me referring to this. She texted me this week. She said, she's asking, what do you call, like, what you're talking about, foretelling? Is it a prophecy? Is it a word of knowledge? Whatever. I said, I just call it the real because, and she said, that works for me. I understand what you're saying. I said, because I don't even know that it needs a label anymore. It becomes so much a part of just the way that you live and move and have your being that, like, I came from a background where we taught on these are the nine gifts of the Spirit, and we put them in three categories, and there were the gifts of inspiration, the gifts of the vocal gifts, and the gifts of, and that's fine. It was a way to understand it. But then you get to a point where you realize this is just happening all the time. I can't necessarily call it prophecy or word of knowledge. It's just stuff that I know, and it's stuff that I am. It happens to me so much now. I'm just in regular conversation. It could be something as benign as me saying, I can't even think of an example. But I'll say the most off-the-cuff thing. It happens so much to me that a stranger will be like, oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. Why did you just say that? I'm like, I don't know. What did I say? That's incredible that you said that. I mean, it happens. It happens so much, I'm surprised when it doesn't happen. so that I don't overthink things. If I feel like saying something, I just say it. I put it out there. Today, I said something to somebody, and I thought maybe they misunderstood what I meant. And I texted them. I said, I just retract what I said before, because I don't think you heard what I. And they're like, no, I just now read it. It's all good. Like, they didn't misunderstand me at all. You know, sometimes when you say something and you don't hear back from somebody, you're like, maybe I shouldn't have said that. They're like, no, I just now read it this morning. It was fine. And just as I was having that interaction, I looked, and my cousin Hannah had posted a meme that said, better an oops than a what if. And I thought, that's brilliant. Because there's so much you miss in life just because you don't ask. Just because you didn't. I can't tell you the people that over the years that left the church that later told me, if you had just called me one time and said, please go back, I would have. I'm like, well, okay. I mean, I thought you knew that, but okay. I mean, who knows? I didn't know I was going to get such a reaction. Y'all have my back too much. Y'all have got to bring... Y'all have got to bring the Crips and the Blood stuff down a notch. Because y'all are like, where are they? I'm like, put the switchblades away. I'm just making a point. Like, y'all are too into it. You're like, don't think I won't cut somebody. I'm like, y'all. Y'all crack me up. But the point is, like I remember, like for instance, I remember the first house I bought, our neighbors across the street, I looked at one day and she had a moving van in front of the house and was taking all the furniture out of the house. And I knew they'd had some rocky stuff. So I called her. I said, I don't want to get in your business, but are you leaving? I won't say his name. I said, where are you leaving him? She said, yes, but I don't want him to know. I said, I'm going to tell you, he's a friend of mine. I just need to give you a heads up. I'm going to call him. I'm going to tell him this because I don't want him to drive home and see this house is emptied out. Well, she left him and he was devastated and it nearly ruined his life. Years later, he remarried and got past it. I never saw her till years later. And I'm at a funeral, doing a funeral. She comes up. She said, hey, so-and-so. And she said, I heard that he got remarried. I said, yeah, I heard that too. She says, it's the worst day of my life. She said, I cried all day long. And I said, well, I don't think he knew that. Like, when, and she says, no, I just thought I nearly killed myself the day he got remarried. I'm like, well, then why the heck did you back a moving truck up? I mean, all it would have, believe me, I spent enough nights hearing him cry over you. All you could have said was, sorry about that. Believe me, he would have taken you back. Not now. But she's like, I should have never done that. I'm like, you think? And now he went on with his life. Here, let me tell you something about destiny. Hear this. Just because somebody missed theirs doesn't mean you have to miss yours. If there's a thing of you, I was supposed to have been with them, if that is a thing, and then they went on, you can have the next destiny then. It doesn't mean your life is ruined. You understand? It doesn't mean you're like, oh, well, I was supposed to, they were my soulmate. Well, no, you can have more than one soulmate. Did I just get it too real? And so this idea of, well, it just ruined my life. Why? Why give anybody that much power in your life? Why would you ever let anybody ruin your life? Exactly. Again, I've told you, these are the ways the neuropaths of my brain work. When I tell you that one story, I'll tell you this one. I was doing a thing with Mark Sharona in Orlando years ago. We were doing a question and answer thing afterwards. And this woman stood up. She said, I'm standing in faith for my marriage to, you know, for be restored in my marriage. And I just want to know how long. What? Well, some people don't. Would you let the rest of the class... She says, y'all talk amongst yourselves. Well, I'm sorry. You have to hear this story one more time. So she goes, I'm standing in faith. I want to know how long should I stand in faith, believing we're going to get back together. So Mark and I are both trying to answer her. And he says, well, are y'all divorced? She goes, oh, yeah, we were divorced like 30 years ago. He's remarried and has a family. And we said, and you're still standing in faith. She goes, well, the Bible says not to get divorced. I said, he's gone on with his life and got children, like grown children, with this woman. And you're still standing in faith. The Bible says hope against hope. I'm like, lady, I don't think the Bible meant hope against hope about that. I mean, marriage is great, but I think you might have exalted it a little. I mean, marriage didn't quite mean that same thing in Bible days. I'm going to tell you something else since I've opened this portal. Let me walk through it. I believe in love and sacrifice and blah, blah, blah. But I was listening to this person who called me last night with the situation. And it's new in a relationship. And I said to this person before I hung out, I said, it's too late for me to be counseling. I'm about to go to bed. I said, but I will say this. It's better, if this thing's not going to work out, it's better for you to know early on in your relationship before y'all buy a house together or whatever. You know, so at least cut your losses and be glad you got out when you did. And I was thinking about, after I hung, which he agreed with, and I hung up, and I said, you know, I was thinking to myself, some of the people I've counseled with for years, back in the day, not so much now. But when I hear somebody say, we really have to work at our marriage or work at our relationship, something about that I think, well, it shouldn't be that much work. I understand give and take in a BJ's running the aisle with a church hat. No. Somebody start the Hammond organ. No. Y'all got to get around him and join your hands. Where's the nurse? Find a nurse because he's going to pass out. No, but it's true. I'm not saying that love doesn't require some give and take and blah, blah, blah. That's true. But when somebody says we work at our marriage, I'm like, wow, I'm willing to be unselfish. I'm willing to, you know, I understand the compromise piece. But if I thought I was just working at it all the time, I'd be like, you know what, this is too hard. I mean, you know, that's too much. I don't like that. And furthermore, when somebody says we're working at it, you know what I want to say at this point in my life? It's probably not going to work out anyway. If you're already to the place of you're working at and you're going to waste these last 3 or 4 years, and if your conscience needs that, that's fine. But if it's this hard now, then it's better to want something you don't have than have something you don't want. And you can go ahead and work through it, and You are making me laugh. BJ's got the victory. But don't you agree with that? It's not that, I'm not saying just give up on your marriage. I'm saying, no, but it doesn't, something doesn't jibe with me when I hear people say that. I'm like, y'all just need to stop. Because you're just going to wear each other out, and you're going to fight like hell for all these years, and you're going to really do a number on each other, and then you're not going to end up together anyway. So you're just wasting a lot of time. Yes, and you're playing off each other's negative energy, whatever. It's better just to say, let's just shake hands and be done with this, and say, I don't want to trash you, you don't trash me, but this is too hard. Let's enjoy what it was. I love that Dr. Seuss statement that says, don't cry that it's over, smile that it happened. If you've had any love in your life, then celebrate that. Make peace with that. Hello, young lovers, wherever you are, don't cry for me. I've had a love of my own. I don't regret any relationship I've ever had. Every one of them brought something into my life that was wonderful. I don't regret being married before. All of that is wonderful. But at the same time, I mean, it's not that I think I'm about to check out of here anytime soon. And sure, truly, you know, Kirk Douglas made it to 103. So I know people are passing the 100 mark more and more. But I think whatever time I have left, if I'm here indefinitely, I don't know. I may just opt out of dying altogether. I don't know. But whatever it is, life's still too short. Even if you live to be 1,000, life's still too short to just be miserable all the time. I remember, now I'm going to tell this one. There was this, I don't even remember their names now, but there was this couple who did a ministry back in the 70s. And their famous thing was, we can restore any marriage. Like, there doesn't matter, there is no hopeless case. And back when Jim and Tammy Baker were going through their stuff, they used to bring this couple on all the time that they've helped us, they can help you. I mean, it was like a big thing. Like, they were famous for hopeless cases. One day, he just goes online. He says, I got to tell y'all, this is all a lie. I've never loved my wife. I don't want to be married. He said, I know I'm probably going to hell, but I'm divorcing her. And of course, the Christians turned on, I mean, they cannibalized him. You do not want to tick off Christians, because Christians are at the core very mean. They don't have Jesus in their heart. They have something else. I don't know what it is, but it's scary. And I have tasted of it, so I know of what I speak. I know what it's like when, you know, people, I was looking at it just this week, because this is an apolitical statement, but this woman in Iowa had voted for Pete Buttigieg. And she says, oh, he's great. I love him. He makes so much sense. She says, I'm not even necessarily Democrat or Republican, but this guy is awesome. And somebody said, you know he's gay, right? She goes, what do you mean? Like, yeah, he has a husband. She says, you mean like he's married to a man? And she says, oh, well, I can't vote for him. And I thought, I recognize that. I recognize people going, you are the most anointed person I've ever. And I'm like, well, you know I'm gay. Oh, to whom it may concern, you are no longer my bishop. Like, wow, that's interesting. That was a dramatic shift. Not, I never liked you that much anyway, so now would be a good time. No, it went from, you absolutely saved my life, to, oh, I can never speak to you again because I don't understand your, no, exactly. So the point is, what? Yeah. And I thought, that's so typical. Like, people have this idea in their mind. Or like some guy I saw, he posted, he's running for office somewhere. Might be here in Georgia. Where did I read this? That he's out and his father hadn't spoken to him in years. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yes, it's some guy that's got a news anchor job in Atlanta. And I thought, I don't know that guy's dad, but I want to go, dude, you're going to so regret this one day, because you have all this time. Even just a week ago, somebody that I guess I'm friends with him now on Facebook, we have never communicated before, but she had posted, I really need to talk to you. I really need to talk to you. So she said it enough that I said, okay, fine. I just called her. And she said, I need to know something. My son just came out, and he's gay, and I need to know, how do I deal with that? I said, what do you mean? How do I deal with it? I said, well, I don't know your son, but I'm sure, I mean, did he change his name? Did he, like, no. I said, is he disinherited? No. I said, well, then, I mean, he's your son. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. However you related to him before, I'm assuming is how you will relate to him now. That didn't change, did it? And was she was trying to be careful, because she said two or three things that were a little bit homophobic, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna give you this grace this one time. I let her say a couple of things, and then finally I said, you know what? That's your son. I can't tell you, if you don't know how to relate to your son, I can't tell you that. I mean, your son's just your son. So I would just say, he's who he's always been. You just didn't know the whole story. So my point is, I've gotten off in the, no, I did not get off in the weeds. I said exactly what I'm supposed to say. And the point is like, live your truth. I'm not talking about your spouse gets sick and you're like, oh, I can't handle this and I'm out. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I mean, even I said this to my mom recently, because she said, I never thought I'd be a caretaker like this. And I said, well, when you said the for better or worse part, here's the worst part. It was, she agreed with it. She says, I know, I agreed to this. She says, I just didn't see this coming. I said, I'm sure you didn't. So I believe love goes the extra mile. What I'm talking about is when somebody's just living in stress and strife. And I don't just mean that for relationships. I think if you have a job that just sucks the life out of you every day. Like, I remember there was years ago, when I used to talk about leading people to the Lord, I led this girl to the Lord. It was when my dad had a church over here in Barclay. And she was not a super high-paid fashion model, but she did enough work that she made a living at it. And she told me one day, she said, can I just tell you, I don't want to be a model anymore. I said, what do you want to do? She said, I want to work construction. I said, well, then go work construction. She said, I just don't want to get up one more day and put on makeup and hear, I've done it. I don't want to hear one more person tell me I'm beautiful. I want to go work with hammers and nails. I said, then I think you should do that. And she did it. And I remember later she said, I lost track with her years ago, but she said, I'm the happiest I've ever been. I said, well, then if that's what you want to do, do what you want to do. Yesterday, if you've never seen the Betty Davis movie, Now Voyager, it's just one of the best movies ever made. It was on yesterday. And I said, you got to watch this movie. It's really, really good. Where she plays a woman who was born to a wealthy family, and this woman had her late in life, and the mother was just like this monster that controlled her and wouldn't let her have her own life, and she was what they used to call a spinster or an old maid. So she has this epiphany in her life where she gets out from under her mother's rule, and the mother even like fakes falling down stairs and all kind of stuff. I mean, it's like one of the best studies of control issues I've ever seen, but it's a very interesting. I mean, it's made in the 40s. It's over the top, melodramatic, but the screenplay is so good because when she comes back to the house and she's lost weight and she looks different, and the mother's like, you know, totally on her case and you know wanting to control her life again. She's like, Mother, I don't want to fight with you. I'm just not, you know, this is the way it's going to be now. And it was so interesting to watch how the mother responded to that. I love seeing when somebody's trying to control you and you push back a little bit and they're like, oh, I guess I can't control you. Exactly. And so that's why, I don't know who I'm saying this for today, but just follow your instincts, follow your heart. I even said it this morning when I looked out and there was fog everywhere. And I said, fog, I'd like you to move. But I also posted, follow your intuition if about driving here. And obviously you did. I love that we live in that world now where I'm not saying, better get here, whatever. Because, I don't honestly know what I would do if I didn't have to be here. So I don't know. I don't have any way of judging that. But I love that I live with a community that I respect you enough to say, do what's right for you. And that's why the unity in this group is so powerful. Because everybody, you're not here because of convenience. This is not around the corner from where you live. You're here because you want to be here. And without trivializing anything in life, I don't think you should do anything in life that you don't feel that way about. Well, I just feel like I need to get married. Why? If it's right for you, fine. But look, marriage isn't right for everybody. It's just not. When Jesus said to the disciples, when he talked about marriage, he said, you might not be able to bear this, but not everybody's cut out for marriage. He actually said that. And I think that's true for it. Like, when people have asked me, do you even miss Church of the Now? I swear to you, I've never missed it for a nanosecond. I love it. I appreciate it. I'm proud of it. I keep pictures of it. I will post them now and then. I'm happy when somebody gives me a good memory from there. It was great. It was awesome. It was amazing. Do I miss it? No. I woke up this morning with no stress in my life. I'm not the only, you know, I have certain people that I pay nominally, but it's not enough for me to be thinking, how in the world am I going to pay all these people? I don't have to worry about that. People I have, they have their own, they contract out. So what is it we do? A 1099 where I'm like, you know, and when you've had 60 people on the payroll that you were trying to figure out how to pay their insurance and their spouse's insurance and there's, would you pay more insurance for their spouse than you pay for you? And now they don't speak to you. You're like, wow, that's, I don't miss those days at all. Judah had posted, they had a youth group thing and I'm like, so happy. I love the energy there. I'm like, yes, youth group. I was so glad that the night of the president's speech, he was out bowling. I was like, smart move. Go bowling. Don't have an opinion about it one way or the other. It's because it's not going to work. Just, yeah, go bowling. And I'm like, so he's in a different place in life. And I'm so happy that, yes, youth group. Yay. Bishop, don't you want to have that? No. I did it. I did it better than anybody I've ever seen do it. And it was awesome. And when teenagers and young people came to the meditation thing, it was, I love that. How old are you, Brody? Huh? 13. I love that Brody's here today. You are totally welcome. Brody, we don't have a youth group. If you're going to ask me later, when does the youth group meet? It doesn't. But I love that you're here, and it's pretty cool, right? It's pretty entertaining, huh? Oh, really? Brody. You're all up in here now. But do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not only am I thrilled that Judah's doing that, I think he should. I'm like, no, you need that. That's awesome. That community needs it. Yes, yes, yes. I'm going on a different path, and I love, if anything, I'm glad that you're doing it so I don't have to do it. I mean, really, I posted this last night, and I did it for a reason. I posted a Picasso. It said, what is it? Know the rules and break them like an artist does. And that's why I love putting out we were going to have the next Washed by the Word out by this Friday, but it may not be this Friday. It's fine. It's coming out soon. It doesn't matter. Avery, I tell you, don't be stressed about the deadline. If it worked out fine, it's fine. What I like about people who still read a year of the down, Washed by the Word, I'm glad that I've said that. I'm glad that that's out there. Picasso could paint landscapes and still lives and portraits. Because he could do that, he could deconstruct art and make people rethink it. I've personally stood on these streets out here and led more people to Jesus than anybody I know in my life. I can drive through these neighborhoods and think I've knocked on every one of these doors and preached the gospel. I don't miss it. I can say, don't tell me about people being saved. I know I was doing that long before you found out about it. Now I can put that out there and say, yeah, I know the Bible, but let me tell you a little something about Zeus. But I think if I hadn't established that, I wouldn't have the liberty to do this, which is why it's pleasantly surprising to me when somebody like you resurfaces, or you who heard me back in the day, who hear me now and say, oh, I get it, because maybe your trajectory has been similar. You know what I mean? You've been outgrowing a certain, and this is no shade on the movement. I couldn't be prouder of Judah or happier for what he's doing. I am just, if anything, it frees me up to go in such a completely different direction. And I've been moving it this way for a while. Like even back when I had a lot of people in my bishopric, some people would come to me, and this is before I came out or anything, people would come to me and I could tell by the questions they were asking and how nervous they were about connecting with me, I would stop them and say, look, if I really am a voice in your life, it would be great if we have a relationship, but I feel like you're too nervous about making a connection with me, and I think you ought to go down the road. I think you're more of a Creflo Dollar kind of guy or whatever. And I don't mean that on nothing negative of him, but I don't have shown any indication of moving in that direction. So if you're already uncomfortable with where I'm at now, I'm looking out on the horizon. I love seeing what's out there. I want to go out there. And that's why I love, Doc, you have no idea what a missing piece it was for a man like you, whom I respect and consider a sage, who say to me, don't worry when people say you're new age. There's nothing wrong with being new age. I'm like, oh, thank you. That was a missing piece that I needed. Then Natalie comes along and says, it's not even new age. It's ancient wisdom. It's not even new. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know what? And it's like, it's so beautiful to get to this place where you can say, look, I'm just going to tell my truth. It may not be for everybody. And that's fine. Namaste. Yeah. And when you're evolved, you're not mad at the other people. It doesn't mean that you're superior to them. It's like, I'm just in a different place than you are. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Always we have need of Zeus, for we are also his offspring, and he is in kindness, and the men giveth favorable signs, and wakeneth the people to work, reminding them of livelihood. All right, let's move on. I like this Dr. Dyer. It's kind of a twist on the Einstein quote. He says, rather than looking for miracles, shift to seeing everything as miraculous. I really do believe that's the right thing. Because when you... people who are always looking for miracles are usually constantly in tragedy. Do you know what I mean? It's like they go from crisis to tragedy to, I need a miracle. Then there's another way of living where you're like, I don't need miracles because kind of everything's a miracle. And you either get this or you don't. The more you see that everything's a miracle, the more the miraculous happens. And the big stuff is happening all the time, and you don't even realize it's happening. You're like, wow, the miraculous has kind of been happening. I'm gonna tell you just something as simple as yesterday. Ken, what did you get? The 11. He loves gadgets and he loves to take pictures, and the 11's got a better phone. I said, why don't you get it? If it's some more money, you work hard. Go get the phone. Like just do it. So he goes to get it. Well, you know, there's all kind of crazy stuff that like trying to get your apps going and trying to get you, and I can't remember my email password. And he was, and I said, it's just what happened. I said, I need all the apps to come back on Ken's phone. I need Ken, he needs to, your email password. He needs that because he gets his work orders through email. I said, I just spoke all those things. Didn't it just happen? You just said, oh, there they are. I said, well, now you could say, well, that was technology. Well, it wasn't happening until I said it. So if it's not a miracle, I've got some pretty impressive timing. Because somehow I'm just able to say it just a few minutes before it manifests. It was like, what, it was like three or four things that you were like, I'm having trouble with this. And I said, Ken needs, I just said it. I said, Ken needs this thing to work. And just like that, it'd be like, oh, it's working now. Like, well, again, did you speak that into existence? What he said was he'd been working on it an hour, and then I said it, and then it all happened. Now, if you say, oh, that was just technology, then fine. You stay there. You stay there. Believe what you want to believe. But I'm telling you, when you come up higher and you start seeing the miraculous everywhere, that to me is the definition of abundant life. And that's why gratitude is so connected to it, because I think the people who are always waiting for the big miracle never notice the great parking space. They never, you know what I mean? Like they never find the synchronicity, which, oh, I got to get to this. Let me get through this quickly. This is the Merriam-Webster definition of synchronicity. Is the coincidental occurrence of events, and especially psychic events, such as similar thoughts in widely separated persons or a mental image of an unexpected event before it happens. I mean, does it happen to you when somebody calls you and you're like, I was just thinking about you? Pay attention to that. I've shared this before. We come up with some new stories for Roz. But this is back before. I think about this because I communicate with her a lot now on Facebook. But this was pre-Facebook. I was just driving one day, and I just thought about this little girl that I went to elementary school with. And I just remembered, oh, her name was Camille. And I remember she had little pale blue horn-rimmed glasses. And I thought, boy, she would be so surprised if she, I mean, somebody I haven't seen in 50 years. Like, I'm sure she probably remember who I am, but why did I even think of her? I'm telling you, before the week was over, I get this email. Hi, Jimmy. I don't know if you remember me. My name is Camille. I went to Bremen Elementary with you, and I just want you to know I watch you every Sunday on TV, and I just wanted to tell you what a blessing you are. And I said, I emailed her back. I said, Camille, you're not going to believe this. I swear I thought of you 48 hours ago. I said, I was just thinking about you. Now we communicate a lot because we're on social media together. But that's not a fluke. There was nothing that happened that made me think of her. I'm just driving along, and I thought, what did I think of Camille McWhorter? This is, huh. And then I get a call from her. Happens all the time. That seem unrelated but are not explained by conventional mechanisms of causality, used especially in the psychology of C.G. Jung. It happens to everyone sooner or later. A certain number pops up wherever you go. An old friend you haven't seen in 20 years since high school appears the same day you're looking at her picture in a yearbook. I'm telling you, it happens to me so much that if I hear from somebody who was in my life at a certain time, I'll just wait for it because it opens some portal, and in the next week, I'll hear from several people that I knew during that time period. And I'm still trying to figure out what that means, but it's like it's such a common occurrence now. I'm like, well, just wait for it because you're going to, for some reason, you're in sophomore year of high school right now, and you're going to hear from several people this week. And it's the most fascinating thing. I don't have to fully understand it. It just lets me know there is a higher way of living. There's a synchronicity to things. There's a flow. Whether you call that walking in the Spirit or moving in the Spirit or being tapped into Source, tomato, tomato, it's all the same stuff. You're singing a song and turn on the radio and the same song is playing. Such coincidences, here described by Thomas Ropp in the Arizona Republic, March 29, 1999, are examples of synchronicity. The concept is linked to the psychology of Carl Jung. Jung didn't coin the word. The simultaneousness sense of synchronicity was already in use, but he gave it special importance in his writing. And if you'll notice, the C-H-R-O-N in synchronicity, it's where we get chronology from. Chronos means time. You remember when I told you, this has been, how long ago did Clifford die? It's been 4 years ago. His dad's brother, before his dad passed, was, you know, on his deathbed. And we had planned this. It was one of those trips where you have to pay everything up front and you have X amount of time. You can still cancel, but if you don't cancel by a certain time, you're just out the money. And it was a pretty significant amount of money. So we thought, well, Clifford's going to be gone long before then, so it's a non-issue. Well, he hung on, and he hung on. And finally, I'm like, I don't want to say anything, but do you think we need to cancel this trip? I mean, it's awkward. Because that's his uncle. But I said, we need to know. Well, we get close enough that he actually went and talked to his dad. He said, what do you think if we missed the funeral? His dad said, that's fine. If you got, and I said, that's going to make me feel, Ken adores his family. That's going to make me feel bad if I make him miss this funeral. And we just, it doesn't seem like that big a deal now. But at the time, it's like, man, we just cannot figure out, do I cancel this thing or not? Because I don't want to cancel it. And then Clifford, you know, rallies. And I'm like, we could have had this amazing, you know. But I also don't want to ignore his death. And somehow we just said, you know what? Let's just do it. And it'll work. We went on the trip. Like the first, remember, we'd gotten one day in. And I walked out on our balcony and I said, Clifford, if you can hear me, it's okay for you to go on now, because by the time we'll get to funeral, we'll be back. He went that night. We had more than enough time to get back. I was telling his widow, who's still with us, we didn't think she was going to, I must be here much longer. She's somehow, Clyde's still here. But I still can't get used to women being named Clyde. And it's got to be a Southern thing. But anyway, I remember that. Remember what I taught that series about synchronicity and Kronos time versus Kairos time? I said, boy, this has really taught me something about timing. Because we did everything we wanted to do, more than enough time. We weren't driving back hysterically trying to get to a funeral. We leisurely came back, had time to be at the viewing the night before. We were at the funeral. We went over that. We did it all. And I thought, this is amazing, because this time last week, timing was really an issue. That's why I was so, I'm not happy for Ray, that he's there down in Florida with his daughter today. But I was not happy that Ray's father passed. I was happy for the timing of it. Because he was having such a good time. He's laying in the floor in the upper room. And I was like, Ray's so adorable. I'm like, let him lay there. If he wants to lay on that floor, y'all mind y'all's business. And I wouldn't want him to get a call. Your dad's dead. And, you got to. Like, this is so orderly, the way you finished out the weekend, had plenty of time, the way it happened with your father, you had plenty of time to get up there and actually be there when he crossed over. I called him the night of the, after the funeral, and I could tell Ray had been with the family, and they're Italian, they'd had some wine, and I could tell he was like, I'm sorry, I said, no, I'm hung up. I said, I would so much rather hear him being with family, being like that, than to him be traumatized. Like this is, it's a sad thing when you lose a parent or when they cross over, but I'm so glad this was as orderly as it was. It's Kronos time. It's Kairos time. Jung believed that such meaningful coincidences play an important role in our lives. Today, some people even look at synchronicities for spiritual guidance. All right, let me show you. Did I not have some definition on there? Oh, no, that was for a... Did I not have a... Oh, that was in my meditation I wrote last night. Never mind. Because last night I wrote about inspiration. I knew I was thinking, I made some reference to Latin words. Never mind. Michelle's like, oh, what are you talking about? Yeah, you good, Michelle. You on it. I wrote this the other day, because even last night, I looked at my phone at exactly 11:11, and I screenshot it. And some guy said, I don't understand why everybody keeps putting their screenshots on. I said, well, for me, I'm showing 11:11. I don't even do it every time I see it. I mean, otherwise it gets obnoxious. But it happens to me constantly. This guy has written a book about it, and he says, the problem with the 11:11 phenomenon is getting anybody interested in it that hasn't experienced it themselves. Other phenomena, such as UFOs or crop circles, are able to be seen. We can debate them, but seeing and being guided by 11:11 is hard to convey to those uninitiated in its ways. The reason I like that quote is that's that way about everything. Some hear an angel speak, some say it was thunder. It's just all the time I see things happening where they just fall into place. There's synchronicity, being at the right place at the right time. Even little things like I'll be in a store, and I don't even shop like I used to, but I'll be in a store and I think, I could buy that. I could afford to buy it. I don't know if I like it enough to pay that for it. Maybe, maybe not. Go off, talk about something else, forget about it, move on. Go back there 2 weeks later, that same thing is like 75% off. And I'm like, hey, I'm getting this now. I mean, I liked it, but I didn't like it enough. But I'll pay that for it. Heck yeah. And that's just synchronicity. And I'm not some big bargain hunter. If it's something I really, really want and I've got the money, well, I'll get it. I don't mind being good to myself. But there's also things you're like, yeah, I don't want to pay that for that. If it's worth it, you had to pay some extra stuff for your phone. I said, it's worth it. You love to take pictures. You got a better camera. It's fine. Yay. Yay us. So, but that's synchronicity. Synchronicity is like, sometimes I pay full price. Sometimes I don't. I'm neither cheap nor extravagant. I'm just synchronistic. Yeah. That's why I love the way we do, the way you find your own lodging for these meditation weekends, because you just do what's right for you. Like if you go to St. Simon's, you can pay top dollar for high-end places, or you can find something that's very reasonable, or you can stay with somebody, or you can, you know, like there's any, what's her name, Rachel, when it's warm, she comes down to camps. She's been to every one of them, except for one when her son was getting baptized. This last one, I said, Rachel, please tell me you're not camping out. It's cold. No, I got to play. Well, that's synchronistic. I don't ever have to have anybody say, we can't afford that place. Well, you can find something you can afford. I don't have that kind of money. If you want to do something, you will find a way to do it. That is true for all of us. All right, let's move on. And to quote Jung again, he said, synchronicity is the coming together of inner and outer events in a way that cannot be explained by cause and effect, and that is meaningful to the observer. I love, this is one of my favorite quotes of his, because I love the connection between the internal world and the external world. Hear me one more time. If you're waiting for things to get better, for you to finally decide to be happy and grateful, you better be patient, because you're going to be waiting a long time. Probably the rest of your life. Yeah. But, yes. The squirrel. Flat squirrels are the product of indecision. I can't, I'm telling you, I taught on this, but I think about it probably once a day. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. He says, anything that doesn't come from one of those two things, he said, all evil comes from that. He didn't say all evil comes from the devil. He said, all evil comes from people not just saying yes or no. Well, it's like Jesus saying, let us go to the other side. He didn't say, let us believe for good weather. The weather was not good. He said, let us go to the other side. That's why I've even noticed about not stressing over the weather for these events actually makes the weather better. Because sometimes the more you rebuke it, it's like the nature wants to fight you back. But if you're just like, I mean, you should hear some of the conversations I've had with the clouds. Clouds, I love you. I respect you. If you could hold off to the end of this weekend, that would be lovely. If not, We'll figure it out, but it would be so nice. We don't want you to go anywhere. We don't want a drought. But if you could just wait, hasn't it happened nearly every time? I mean, this one time in St. Simon's, it was like, wait for it. Wait. As soon as I went out of the city limits, it was a monsoon. I was like, thank you, clouds. But, and this is what I learned in Blue Ridge, if it's too cold, we'll go inside somewhere, and it's just as good inside. As much as I love those sunrises and sunsets, those inside events have been amazing. And I just love that y'all are like, yeah, good, whatever. It's cold out there. Okay, we'll bundle up. How many people does the room see? Well, 20, maybe 25, good, because 46 of us are coming up. Okay, somebody's going to sit on somebody's lap, but it'll work. And it's just the number of laps. When two more are coming in late, and I say, we couldn't even squeeze two more people in here, and two people get up and walk out, make room. John Gene Shinoda Bolin says this, synchronistic meetings are like mirrors that reflect something of ourselves. If we want to grow spiritually, all we have to do is take a good look. Synchronicity holds the promise that if we want to change inside, the patterns of our external life will change as well. I can't tell you. Let me tell you this one more story. But I remember stop numbering my story. Now, you know, y'all don't even deserve to hear this one now. I'm not even sure. It's too good to. No, I'm going to tell you anyway. A few years ago, when I was working with the Global Peace Festival, they were connected to Dr. Moon. I told them, I said, look, I love your whole inclusion piece, but I'm never going to convert to Unification Church. So y'all need to know. If that's what the bottom line is here, y'all need to know this before you start spending money flying me all over the world, which they did. They flew me all over the world, and I said, can I go business class? And money was no object. But they flew me to New York one time, and it was clearly, I was there to be indoctrinated. And I was like, yeah, I ask y'all not to do this, and it was kind of the last time I met with them, and I didn't want to make a scene, but it wasn't just me, there was several people in there, and I just got up and walked out. And I thought, it's fine, I'm in New York, I'm just gonna enjoy the day. So I did all kinds of, I went places I'd never been before. I took the subway down to Chinatown, all these just places I don't use, because I'm usually looking at the more touristy places. And it was no big deal. I mean, I'm still friends with many of them, and they never harassed me or anything. What was so interesting, I'm standing on a sidewalk in Greenwich Village. I'm thinking about having lunch. I'm like, there's a lot of cool places around. This homeless guy comes walking by, staggering. He was a little bit inebriated. He was carrying a copy of their version, like Creative Loafing. It's that kind of magazine. It's like a newspaper magazine that talks about events. He comes walking by me like this, and he gets in front of me, and he opens it up, and it's a picture of Jared in the Black Lives. And he goes, this is what matters. And he closed it and staggered off. I am not kidding. I was like, I actually followed him down there. I said, excuse me, why did you just do that? Why did you show me that? And he said, what are you talking about? I said, you just opened that newspaper and showed it's a picture of my son, and you said this is what matters. I don't know why I said it. Can you give me something to eat? And I bought him lunch. I said, yes, where do you want to go? I sat him down and I said, order whatever you want. But and it wasn't even like it was some big message about Jared so much. It was just, what are the odds of me standing in Greenwich Village in New York and this indigent man comes by and shows me a picture of my son? What it said to me, I never saw some big special meaning in it other than whatever's going on, my life is very ordered. No, it was an ad that the Black Lips were going to be performing there. And I went and called Jared immediately. I said, I believe this thing that happened, and we had this great talk, and it just was what it was. But synchronicity doesn't always have to be this major dramatic thing. Sometimes it's just this little thing saying, you're in the flow, spirit is real, you're not imagining this, you're not making this up, these are real things. We got to go. Stand up. Today was so good. That's a good one. We hope you will return. Please remain standing and show this. I haven't shown this a couple of weeks.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. You can give any time using any smartphone.
Any time.
Text the amount you'd like to donate to 404-620-5044.
That number ought to be in your phone.
You will then receive a notification that you successfully completed your donation. You may also visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab to give there as well. When you contribute to Metron, you're also donating to the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment into Metron.
If you're making a check, make it to JESM and Danny will receive that. And the good thing about when Danny receives it, you get this, Danny's got this amazing energy light thing. So it's worth it. I mean, I like the online giving, but if you are a check person, there's a perk in it for you because you get this energy vault from Danny. First time I ever hugged Danny, I was like, wow, amazing life force. Like, what is this guy's? Guy's got light. And I still think it now, Daniel. If you have cash, pay it forward. And go bless somebody. Everybody that was here today, glad you're all here. Patricia, I hope you have an amazing birthday. Y'all wanna give everybody your PayPal number? Y'all say yeah, if y'all got cash, give it to Patricia. But anyway, it was good today. We take this energy, these words that we've spoken, we honor them. We did this last week and it felt very powerful. Just raise your hands for a moment. Let's honor this word that was spoken today. We raise our hands in testimony to say what has been spoken here today is the truth. Yes, we've laughed. Yes, we've retold stories. But the bottom line is truth has been honored here. Truth has been spoken. And now we all connect with it. We all add our agreement to it. All the promises of God are yes and amen, and we say yes. Sharon. Oh, that's right. Amen. And Cheryl, thank you very much. Cheryl, where are you? Cheryl, it was your birthday. Hey, happy birthday, Cheryl. Yours was a milestone too, wasn't it? All y'all, you and Cheryl were born the same week. Did you know that? I saw you at that concert. Mm-hmm. Looking like you were about 25 up in that joint. Cheryl is extremely faithful and wonderful. We love you very much. Happy birthday, Cheryl. Was anybody else's birthday this week? I don't want anybody texting me going, that's right. Yours was, you had a milestone this week too, didn't you? Yeah, it was I knew it was a kind of a roundish number. Well, happy birthday. One year or 2 years? 2 years. Matthew and Amanda had a very fun wedding. It was great. And you see, when you look at the pictures, you see that it captures the joy. It was a very happy day. Well, congratulations. And for whatever, anybody else have a birthday? Well, happy birthday to all. You have a beautiful rest of the day. Enjoy whatever weather you're going to encounter the rest of the day. It's all good. Whatever it is, it'll pass within a few hours. So have a productive week. God bless you. Go in peace. I love you.